Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer. We've been talking today about education reform as a political issue in our 30 Issues in 30 Days election series. One facet of that reform agenda is a greater reliance on testing to keep standards high. But what if more cheating is an unintended consequence of more testing? Robert Kolker in New York Magazine this week talked to the kid behind the cheating scandal at Stuyvesant High School and looked at the research out there to explain why high-achieving students still feel compelled to cheat on tests. He joins us to talk about this. Welcome back to WNYC, Bob Kolker.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And first, since school's out today, let's hear from parents, teachers, and students. Tell us your cheating stories. Call 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Now, Bob Kolker, we've talked about this cheating scandal at one of the city's elite public schools, but you talked to the student who was caught sending answers to two of the region's exams to fellow students. In a nutshell, what did he do and how did he get caught?
Well, I spoke with Naeem Hassan, who's a 16-year-old. Now he would be a senior, although he's not currently enrolled at Stuyvesant, and he's undergoing a suspension. It's unclear where he'll go to school this year. But at the end of his junior year, he pulled off what turned out to be the most audacious, notorious act of cheating in the history of Stuyvesant High School or any elite high school. He actually took a photograph of every page, 15 pages, of a completed exam that he completed at the physics region, and he texted it to a list of 140 people, all of whom were also taking the same test at the same time at different places around the school.
How did he get caught?
Well, it was too big. He had told me that he had cheated frequently in the past, and he had done lots of sharing of answers and passing along test answers and even texting during tests. But to send so many photos to so many people, too many tests were similar, and by the third regent test, he got caught. They came in the middle of his Spanish regent and took him to the office and saw the list of people he was texting to.
So he not only was taking pictures of a test, he was sending it to other students who were going to take this test. Why did he say he cheated, and why did he want to send the test to other students and risk getting caught?
Like a lot of people who I found through my research, Naeem talks about cheating as an act of generosity, as a communal effort. It's as if he and his friends are teamed up against the test. And, you know, the research shows, and in the New York Magazine story, you can see a lot of people who are surveyed who cheat don't necessarily cheat because they're wildly impulsive or even delinquent. They do it because they resent or have contempt even for the test. That's why so many advocates out there who are campaigning against high-stakes testing find themselves in tune with a lot of the research on this subject. A lot of the people who study cheating say that when you're learning in order to get a good number on a test, you're more motivated to cheat than if you're just trying to learn.
So it's not wasn't so much about just increasing his GPA to get into Harvard, but also taking a stand against the system.
Well, that's how he rationalizes it. But in reality, I have to say, after talking with him and, you know, a lot of people at Stuyvesant High School, it's not just a culture of collaboration. It's not like Spartacus and everybody standing up and, you know, rebelling against the system. In reality, there is a lot of competition, and you come in and there's this incredible paradox at an elite high school like Stuyvesant, where you're told that you're the best of the best and you're among the best of the best, but then you look at the numbers and you see that only one out of every 8 or 9 of you is going to go to an Ivy League school. So if you're going to be one of those people, you're really going to have to compete. So automatically, from day one, you're looking at your numbers. You're not looking at what you learn. You're looking at your numbers. In fact, at Stuyvesant and other schools, and elite high schools in New York City, you're looking at your numbers before you start the school because you're taking the selective high school admissions test, which is nothing but a numbers-based test, no essay, no interview, no nothing. And if you hit that number, you can get into one of the elite high schools.
Listeners, have you cheated on an exam or caught someone else cheating? Tell us your story. Call it 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And as far as the cheating trends go, is there more cheating at these sort of high-end, competitive high schools than there are in sort of your conventional high schools?
The researchers I talked to said that the numbers have always been high for cheating, and that they don't break down among more competitive or less competitive schools. But what they see is that the rationale for cheating and the motivation for cheating increases at elite high schools where there's competition and scores matter more.
The motivation changes. So in a high school that's not a high achieving high school, it's figuring out just how to get by.
Right. It doesn't really break down demographically. Poorer communities have a lot of cheating. Richer ones do, too. Academically elite ones do. It's just that the researchers I spoke to said that the answer to the question, how could it happen here when it comes to a place like Stuyvesant or even Harvard, where it happened recently, the answer is, of course, it happened here. The smart people are every bit as able to act unethically as less smart people.
So we started this conversation by talking about the greater reliance on testing and linking it to standards and school reform. Is cheating increasing, and is that because of school reform, or is it also because students have phones that they can take pictures of tests now?
One of the big gurus who has looked at testing at all, cheating at all ages, is from Ohio State University. His name is Eric Anderman. He told me that the numbers have been high and continue to be high and are extremely high now. He senses an uptick, something like 85% saying that they do something. From there, that he is a big believer that high-stakes testing is the culprit. He doesn't believe any of the biological arguments about, in the brain research about impulsivity in teenagers and how they're biologically given to more reckless behavior. He's done studies that showed that even students who cheat because they're impulsive say they cheat less when they respect the test more, and they think it's about learning and not about just a number.
Beth and Great Neck, you have a cheating story to share?
My daughter graduated in the same class with Sam Eshagoff, who cheated on the SATs, and she knew about it. She told me after the fact, after it all came out, that she knew about it for over a year, and she didn't say anything to anybody. I'm wondering if this guest knows anything about why other students will remain silent.
Do you know about that?
That's a really good...
Yeah, why do other students remain silent?
That's a really good question, and when Sam Eshagoff was on 60 Minutes a few months ago, He once again, like Naeem, he rationalized what he did as an act of generosity. He figured he was helping people out. He said, there's one thing standing between these kids' futures and themselves, and that's a good score on an SAT, so why not help them out? They've lost sight of any sort of meaning behind the learning experience or the education experience. Now, the reason why most people would stay silent is the same reason why in Wall Street culture or in any sort of adult corruption case, so many people stay silent. They think it can backfire against them socially. They also see no point to standing up for the system because it's really just about a number.
And in this Stuyvesant,
that's just for starters.
In this Stuyvesant case, did the students who received the texted pictures of the test, did they face any consequences?
It was originally reported that 92 students were being investigated, but that number quickly dropped to 72, and now it's down to 66. They appear to be adjudicating cases individually, but what Naeem suggests to me is that they never got all 140 names off of the list of people he texted to. That's in the New York Magazine story. You'll see that he sent it to 140 people. That's new information. And he wiped his phone of data as soon as he could, and so he assumes that they didn't get all the names in time.
Does Naeem, how does he talk about it now? Does he feel remorseful? Does he admit that he made a mistake? Or is he still sort of holding on to this idea that high-stakes testing, this was a reaction to that environment?
I think at this stage he's so upset that he won't be able to return to Stuyvesant, and so terrified that this has destroyed, you know, his chances of going to practically any college, that he's ready to, you know, talk about, you know, being terribly, terribly sorry every chance he gets. But at the same time, he, you know, he says it's foolish and a really poor use of judgment. He doesn't talk about it necessarily from a moral or ethical point of view. He talks about it about how it was, it was foolish or ridiculous and stupid.
Jeff, in the Bronx, you have a cheating story?
Yes, I do.
What happened?
Well, I just wanted to say, firstly, it's not just the Stuyvesant kids who feel this pressure. I went to a different high school, and we have the same pressure. There's a lot of people competing to get into the same colleges. I think there's just a lot of hype because it is Stuyvesant specifically. However, when we cheated, we had a Regents exam, and it was merely for just a moment. The proctor stepped out of the room, and I was well prepared for this exam, but I just didn't know one question, which stumped me. When I walked out of the room, I asked the person sitting next to me, and then they did the same. So it's cheating, yes. However, it needed to be done. The pressure is on.
Thanks, Jeff, for sharing your story. Bob Kolker, you write that when tests are seen as gauging knowledge and not just competing for a ranking, then there's less cheating. How does that work?
Well, a lot of it is based on the research of Carol Dweck from Stanford University. She was the one who looked closely at how when your performance is based purely on a number, you don't spend a lot of time trying to master the material. Instead, you spend a lot of time worrying that you're going to come off looking stupid. That's kind of a glib way of putting it, but really it amps up your anxiety. And I think anyone who has had to take a big test like the SAT, and that's pretty much all of us, can relate to that feeling. Like, if my number is this and not that, then I'm in deep trouble. Not, oh boy, I hope I really learned enough so that I can, you know, exercise my knowledge in a productive way. And so I think the tipping point of high-stakes testing, you know, we've passed that point, according to many advocates, and it's not just the SAT anymore. It's any number of assessments that happen.
We're gonna
from
have
very
to,
early age.
We're going to have to leave it there. That's Robert Kolker, who's written about this in New York Magazine. His story is Cheating Upwards. Thanks so much, and thank you for all your calls. I'm Anna Sales, sitting in for Brian Lehrer. He is back tomorrow.